Blog Talk Radio.
Always look up, never give up, and you will reach your goals. You're important, you're more than enough. And here she is, your host for Rolling with the Diva, Sabrina Williams. Thank you.
Well, it is 55, I think, degrees here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am so glad that you guys joined us for another episode of Rolling with the Diva. We're in season four. I'm acting like we're like a reality show or something, so I'm in season four. Actually, it's just when you make the shows, you can do that, so I decided to go in season four. It's been 4 years almost. But today, we have a very special guest, Jal Judah D. She's a comedian and a self-published author, and we're going to welcome Jal Judah to the show because she is in a different time zone than us, and people don't want to stay up all night long talking to the diva, so we're going to get right to it. We're going to talk to Jal Judah for a few minutes, and then we're going to get play a few songs and then come back. All right, Ms. Jal Judah, how are you today?
I'm doing great. If it wasn't cold, I'd be better.
Tell everybody where you're calling from.
I'm calling from East Texas, and it is 39 degrees.
Oh, Lord Jesus, that is cold. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm very sad that I have to say that it looks like the Rams might be going to the Super Bowl. I'm very saddened that the Saints couldn't keep the lead and do what they needed to do. I just don't like the Rams. They just seem to go from state to state. Originally, they were the Los Angeles Rams. Then they became the St. Louis Rams, and now they're back, and they're the L.A. Rams. You know what? I'm just tired of them. They're like the Raiders. They just keep hopping and hopping more and more like people like on pole dancing. Just go from one pole to the next. They just race. But anyway,
everybody Rams at this point.
Yep, so the Rams need to just, I'm not rooting for them. Didn't root for them today. I mean, I really have friends who play for the Rams. I know they'd probably be mad at me, but whatever. All right, Jal Judah, tell us about a little about you, and then we want to start asking questions about your comedy and your new self-published book.
Yes, ma'am. My stage name is Jal Judah. I have been doing comedy over 5 years. I started in Dallas, Texas. Now I'm back in East Texas due to kidney failure. But hopefully I get on a transplant list soon so I can get up out of here to somewhere that I could maybe, you know, find a better comedy scene or just have better opportunities. I do have one book I have published. It's called See Me, Volume 1. And I'm also working on another book called Savage. And I'll probably complete Savage before I go into See Me Volume 2 because I'm actually, like, you know, you hang around somebody just all the time and you get tired of seeing them.
Yep.
That's kind of how I got with the characters in See Me because it was like I was writing about them every day and, like, I had to deal with their drama every day and the twists and turns. I was like, dang, I'm tired of these people. So I, like, actually took a break over the last year from writing and I'm just trying to get back into it now.
That's awesome. Now I know your first book was you're actually a well written author. You write very well and you tell the story really well. Was there an inspiration behind you getting into that into writing, or was it just your thought that you knew you could do this?
Well, I've always like written like poetry and things, but I was never able to write like with longevity, like I wasn't good at writing like stories. I write maybe a page or two here or there, and then I would leave it and come back to it or just completely start with something else. But I always knew I'd be good at writing because my mom used to write like poetry and stuff. And like when she was in school, she used to do people's assignments, like their writing assignments and stuff. But what made me really initially start writing the story was a few years ago, Zane had a contest to where, you know, if you wrote a good story and you submitted it, she was choosing several people to put it in one of her novellas. And I started on it, but I just didn't finish it. And so a few years later, I just, you know, refound the story. And I was like, you know what? I'm going through something right now. I can't really fully express myself to the person I'm going through it with. So I'll just write. I'll just put in a story. And, like, that's kind of where See Me started up.
Wow. What's your favorite part of writing, and what's your least favorite part?
My favorite part of writing is when I start with an idea, letting it grow to whatever it's going to be. Because I can start off writing a poem, and it can become a short story. I start off writing a short story, which is what I was doing with See Me, and it became volume one of a book. Because, like, writing stories are completely different from writing jokes. Like, with a joke, I have to know exactly where I'm going. With a story, I can kind of let it build itself. But my least favorite part of writing for me, I can't just sit down and decide, hey, I'm going to write this story. It has to be the time to write it. Because if it's not the right time to write it, it'll just be me rambling versus me being inspired to write something.
All right. Now, I noticed that you're getting back at where you as you indicated earlier, you're doing your thing to hopefully get on the list for a kidney transplant. But so tell us, if you don't mind, about that, and what's been the upside and what's been the downside of that, and how can people pray for you?
With the kidney failure, I have something called FSGS. And it's basically where, like, if your kidney is damaged in any way, instead of repairing itself, it creates scar tissue. So right now, my kidney is between 96% to 98% scar tissue. Like, it's something that is on my dad's side of the family. My uncle had kidney failure. My cousin that passed away last year, he had kidney failure. He didn't even know it. He was 21 years old. I've looked on Ancestry through my dad's side of the family, and they either died from heart failure or kidney failure. So it's something that, like, I wish, we had known about it when I was younger, because this disease actually starts between the ages of 7 and 14 years old. So it's like we didn't even know to look for it. And I think, like, the upside of it, which a lot of people is gonna find it has a side to a disease. I pray for patience, and one thing I learned, you have to be more specific about what you pray for.
Okay.
And so the kidney disease has put me back into a position where I'm in a town that I don't particularly want to be in, but I can't just rush out of it, and I can't just leave at any time. So I have to learn to be patient. So I should have been more specific in what I prayed for. Because, I'm like, because I have no choice. And if I were to ask people to pray for me, I would just say, because, like, a lot of times, like, it's hard to, determine how long a kidney's going to last. I had a cousin whose kidney lasted 20 years before it started to fail. I met people through the dialysis group, they fail in days, months, maybe 2 or 3 years. So I would just pray that, I would just ask people to pray that when I do get a kidney, pray that I make the list, and that when I do get a kidney, I have one that is a successful match and it lasts a lifetime. Because, it's just, it's a lot that goes with the transplant. And I just pray that I'm able to handle the medical responsibility. There's a financial responsibility, because you have to pay for your anti-rejection drugs out of pocket after 3 to 5 years. Yeah. One of my anti-rejection drugs was $800 a month, because you only get Medicare like 3 years to 5 years after, depending on what state you're in, and then you're on your own. So, yeah. So it's a big responsibility, and sometimes I think there may be, the transplant wouldn't be the best idea. Maybe staying on dialysis with it, but then dialysis is limited to me. So, it's just a decision I have to make.
Wow. Well, Jal Judah, I know that you're a strong young woman. That doesn't always sometimes sound comforting to people because, you know, I don't know what you're going through, and I know it's hard, but I do know I'm praying for you always, and I know that there's good things that's going to come out of your future just by you sharing your story and you're staying strong, and your book, See Me. Everybody, we're on the phone with Jal Judah, D, and she has the book See Me, Volume 1, and it is a story of a young woman who must learn that love is not always as easy as it's made out to be. Sometimes you have to fight, cry, and smile through the pain when you find a love that is truly meant to be yours. And that is a true statement that I've heard all year, and this year is just starting. So amen to that. I'm just saying, Judge. So we're going to come back, and we're going to let you do a little bit of comedy, but we're going to play a song by M.O.G. and Nettie, and we'll be right back. Stay on the line.
Talk it up.
Never hang up, no shame, son, but my faith never change up. Yes,
I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Whoa.
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 No stress, no stress.
Whoa.
No stress, no stress.
Whoa.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Whoa.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Whoa.
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 No stress, no stress.
Whoa.
No stress, no stress.
Whoa.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Whoa.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
All right, we're back with Rolling with the Diva. Of course, we would have the music decided doesn't want to play in a row. You know how that always goes. It'll start playing when it decides it wants to. But we're back on the air with Jal Judah D, comedian and self-published author with her Volume 1. We were talking about her Volume 1 book of See Me. I'm really glad that you guys are tuning into the radio show. I'm going to read you guys something that I had wrote earlier that I just thought it would definitely represent how we are, God is in charge of our lives, but we also are too. So I just want to read to you, and it's called You Are. You are an author, narrator, and king / queen of your life. So you're going to be both, you know. Some chapters may need to be rewritten, people to add or remove from your story. Until your final breath, you make the pen stroke come alive with your response and reaction to life. That's it, people. You remember, it's your choice. Who you hang with, what you do. I like Jal Judah's. If you guys were listening, we were talking about her book, Volume 1, See Me, and how you have to work through the pain. And she's talking about working through the pain of finding a love. But you know what? We work through a lot of things in life, and at the end of the day, it's our choice. Jal Judah, what do you think? Oh, you know, the phone is just as crazy as it wants to be. Okay, nope. We are not going there. Let me. All right, there we go. Beth, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. So what do you think about people being the author and narrator of their life?
The author and narrator what?
Of their life.
I do agree, because only you can dictate how you're going to view a situation. Because the narrator's job is just to describe the story. And based on that description alone, it can set the mood or the tone for a story. So it's like, instead of taking, you know, looking at a bad situation as the worst, you have to be somewhat of an optimist and, you know, try to find a silver lining in it.
Exactly. Judge, to tell everybody where they can.
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of lose you.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let me switch. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you and where you're, where they can follow you at and purchase your book at?
Okay, I'm mostly on Facebook under Jal Judah D. If you want to keep up with just the comedy updates, then Jal Judah, the comedian. I'm also on YouTube. I am Jal Judah. I haven't updated that in a while, but I'm going to start working on it soon. I do have a Twitter, which, I mean, you can reach out to me on Twitter. I'm just not like a super Twitter person. And I am on Instagram under I am Jal Judah. My book can be purchased on lulu.com. You can just type my name in or See Me Volume 1, and it'll immediately pop up. And there's also a link to it on my Facebook page. And you can also follow Jal Judah Writes. There's also a link to purchase the book there as well.
All right, Jal Judah, well, we're going to bring you to the carpet right now to do what you do really, really well and great, and you crack me up. We want to talk about online dating. Have you heard of the term ghosting?
Oh, God, yeah. Yep, yep,
okay.
Yep. I got ghosted last year.
It's not funny, but it is funny because, so if everybody doesn't know what ghosting is, you know, you can watch Catfish and I'll tell you, but ghosting is basically where a person, they'll slowly, you know, they'll keep talking to you and they may be hot in the beginning, but then they'll talk to you and then slowly, they just fall off the carpet, like literally fall off the edge of the world. And it's just really ridiculous. So Jal Judah's going to bring us some funny comedy about dating in the social media these days. Go for it, Jal Judah.
Yeah, I actually got ghosted in real life. So that's what makes it worse. And it wasn't even a gradual thing. They just got mad at me one day and just stopped talking to me. And he eventually ended up talking to me again. And he was like, I stopped talking to you because you hacked my iPhone. I was like, I did what? He was like, you hacked my iPhone. I was like, first and foremost, if I had the ability to hack an iPhone, I wouldn't be in East Texas and I wouldn't be broke. Like, see, who thinks somebody hacks their iPhone?
Oh, my God.
Right. Like, I was like, if I was that smart, I would have money and I wouldn't be here because I'd probably be hacking a banking system or something of substantial value, which I think that just goes to show how paranoid men are these days. But, like, oh, my God, online dating is just horrible. Let me see. I've met guys that have approached me with lines like, hey, you going to be my baby mama, or hey, you going to help me raise these kids. Like, that was the intro. Like, that was literally the intro. So, you going to help me raise my two kids?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay.
What is your name?
Yeah.
Like, no. Girl, I don't even date anymore. Like, one of my best friends met a dude who ended up being a serial killer. So, yep.
No, seriously?
Dead serious.
Oh, wow.
Dead
That's
serious.
Scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what you get on Plenty of Fish. They gotta call it Plenty of Piranhas because it ain't no fish on there. I'm just saying.
You know what? It's really hilarious because I'm on Instagram a lot and Facebook, mainly Instagram where I post a lot. But I'm always amazed at the guys who are like they're a prince of Saudi Arabia. Are they something? And my question is to them is, if you're a prince, do you think you would be messaging some meager girl on Instagram? Just saying.
They're a prince of a green card.
Yeah, because I just don't get it. I don't know. And it's just sad these days is how people, even some women, use the internet to manipulate other people. And it all comes down to these people are, they want to try to see who they can manipulate to get by easier in life. And it's just sad. It's just, wow. It just makes me sad. But, wow. Well, it really is. And you know what? It's just sad that people can't, you know, just do what they do. But I wanted to remind everybody, as you're listening to Rolling with the Diva, in 211 in any of the United States, you can call for numbers for food banks or for shelters for women and some for men, very few for men, unfortunately, for domestic violence or if you have an addiction, you know, whether it's to alcohol, drugs. And it doesn't also, I did a show about 3 weeks ago, and just so people know, your addictions can be behavioral, and those addictions can be explosive disorder with anger. It can be shopping, kleptomania. It can be a sex addiction. It can be a social media addiction. And those are real true behaviors that impact the way that you do your life. So call 211 in those areas. If you're suicidal and you just know you can't make it, you need to call 911. And I know there's people around the world right now who the federal government is closed, and I take my hats off to California, who said screw you to the president and started offering unemployment to the people. It's not going to make them as much, but at least they were there to offer and help them, and I think that's really great of California, and hopefully other states will follow. This thing is not about a wall. It's about a man who is a narcissistic man who thinks only of himself, wants people to bow down to him, and almost seems like I used to read the books by Tim LaHaye, Left Behind, and they almost remind me of what they said would happen. And it's just really scary. You guys want to know it? You can find those books with Tim LaHaye, Left Behind series. They really get deep, sort of kind of mind-twisting. But pray for President Trump because he really needs to leave office and get his butt out of there because he's causing havoc and his check this out. None of his supporters are saying that his overall approval rate is down to 30%. That's pretty low for a president. I mean, so, you know, it's sad. People are going to remember this in election time, and hopefully you guys will get your butts out there this time and vote because we do not need him in office anymore. I'm a Republican, but I do not agree with the things that are going on. I do not stand by these things. I do not enforce these things. And any Republican or Democrat will tell you, if they're a true Republican or Democrat, you can switch who you vote for, and I do. So,
all right.
You don't have to be stuck with oh my God, it could be a Democrat that lost his mind and I may not vote for him, or it could be a Democrat like this time I voted, when I voted in the primaries, I voted for people who were more Democrat and liberal than I did some of the Republicans, because they're not doing anything. So don't be stuck. Go by your morals. I was listening to, because everybody knows tomorrow's Martin Luther King's birthday. Happy birthday, Dr. King. But he did a speech, and they were asking him, no, he was on the radio with, I think it was Larry King, and Larry King asked him, I think, about, or somebody asked him about, do you think it's okay to break the law when he was doing the sit-ins and stuff? And he said, sometime to break the law, you have to break, it's not breaking the law, it's standing by your morals of what's right. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
And sometimes your morals have to outweigh the law, because the law may not be ready to change, but the change is needed. So I thought that was a very interesting point, and I'm glad to see that, like, California and other states are starting to just say, screw you, Mr. President, and that's it, because people are more important. And this is not okay. This is just not. This
it's
is
not
what Martin
at all.
This is, it's not what Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson, Gandhi, other people would stand for, President Obama. You know, none of these people came here or stood for, and all of our past people who fought for us, they wouldn't have this. Because there are people who were white, black, blue, and green, as I say, who walked with us. And some of those same people are protesting what President Trump is doing. It's not okay. So your morals, you know, you guys might want to think about, what are your morals, what are your values, and what do you stand for? I like the quote that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll die for anything. If you know, so stand for something. Don't just stand there and say, okay, I'm okay with this. And how can you help? I know you can't, like, feed everybody, but if you know a family, you know, that is struggling, that is receiving federal money, they have jobs, they are, you know, post office workers. I didn't even know post office workers have to report to work, even though they're not getting paid.
Yep.
I mean,
oh, yeah. PSA does, too.
I mean, that's just, and it's sad because these people, they don't know when they're going to get a paycheck. Yes, Congress did override the president, and about 3 weeks ago acted in a law that said that they will get all of their back pay. It's sad that people have to overwrite a president, but at this point, somebody needs to impeach him. And we all remember what happened with President Nixon when he got impeached. He had common sense enough to say, all right, I'm going to resign. Let's hope this person has common sense enough to say they resign. But you guys all know in your minds as you listen to this, that's not going to happen. And if there's
right.
people that are listening to, and they want to write me a letter and say that I'm a crazy and I'm not really a Republican, you feel free. But if you can send me 20 things positively that Trump is doing, I might be able to listen to you. So I can give you 20 things that he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's overstepping and breaking laws, but no, I don't know. Just me.
But you know what?
What do you think, Jeff Judah?
I'm going to say this. With Nixon, at least he did one really good thing that a lot of people don't know about. I'm going to say this. If it wasn't for Nixon, I probably wouldn't be alive today, because back in the day, only one out of three people in the U.S. would get dialysis. Because if you weren't considered quote-unquote viable, you weren't able to qualify for dialysis. And viable means working a job, like able to hold out a regular job. But when he was in office, he ratified that so that the government would take care of and cover the cost for dialysis. But that was at least one good thing Nixon did before getting kicked out. But like you said, what has Trump done? Like, he hasn't done, like, anything good at all. Like, I really can't think of one single thing. Like, Trump is so bad, I apologize for all the things I said about George W. Bush. Like,
yeah, leave my,
like, that's
leave
how
my
bad
man
it
alone.
Is.
Leave my man alone, because I tell you, people, I love that band because they look good in their pair of jeans. But no, I do like the George W.'s. I like the Georges. See, I told everybody that he wasn't that bad. Nobody believed me. See?
Like, yeah, I'd rather take just a little slow than just willfully hateful. It's like, I'm reminded of the Kanye West song where he said, no one man should have all their power. Like, something
yep.
has to be done to regulate this. because we're basically in a dictatorship. Like, I think there should be a minimum amount of time someone has to serve in Congress before they're able to apply for the office of president, because I want to see how you run a city, how you run a state, how you run your seat before you go for something like that. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely and completely ridiculous, because a lot of people in the U.S. already had to worry about, you know, their kids going to school and get an education. Now people whose kids have free lunch have to worry about, well, how's my kid going to get to school? How are they going to eat? And if those same families are on food stamps, they're like, well, how am I going to get food for home, let alone food for school? And, like, people that's in my situation, like, I'm on disability because I can't find a job. I have a lift restriction, and I do treatment 3 days a week in the middle of the day. So it's hard for me to, like, even complete a training schedule at the jobs that are offered around here. So if the shutdown goes on so long, I lose my disability, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay rent? Like, how am I going to buy my kid lunch? It's just like, my cousin says we're being held hostage in our own country. And I agree with it.
Yeah, and you know what, Jaljita, that is so true, and I totally agree. I won't even expand because you were eloquent about that. Thank you very much. You know, what I find interesting is today, I'm going to have to go back. I was reading on Google that he's, and I have to read this and research because I like research, but they're saying he's trying to change the impact of our dollar. And I'm going to tell you guys something. You know, all of these things that are happening are in the Bible. People may believe different things about the Bible, but this stuff that's happening right now is some scary stuff right now. Because if that's not the Antichrist, I don't know what is. Because I'm going to be really serious on that. And it's just sad that people are made lose their houses. We have veterans who are right now, even before the easier for.
You're cutting out really bad, Sabrina.
Oh, the veterans. That the, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
That the veterans who are, over 200,000 veterans that are receiving, or supposed to be receiving money, are not. This has been going on almost for a year and a half because they implemented a new system, but they fired the director and not a lot of people know how to use it. So this is just sad. So we just really need to pray. I pray that God just really comes and just really puts a spark under the Congress and the Senate and let this some of these things get resolved and the people who are without money could have it. And but that's it. You guys, it is a lovely day, though, in Vegas. I'm going to tell you that. It's cold as heck, and I love it. The colder, the better. I do not like heat. I do not like heat, and I love when it's cold. Now, everybody else in Vegas thinks I'm crazy and psychotic, but
well,
I love
don't come to Texas in the summer.
Okay, because I will not, because I'm not. But, Jaljita, one more time, tell everybody where they can find me and give shout-outs to whoever you want, and then we're going to end the show. And you guys, we're going to end with a song.
Really, if you just Google Jaljita, I'll pop up because I'm the only one, but I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm probably somewhere on Black Planet. I don't know because, like, I haven't used that in years. my book link is still up, but I don't know. My book link is available on my Facebook, on my Instagram. You can look up Jaljita Writes or under Jaljita D. And there's a ton of ways to get to the book link, which is on Lulu.com, which is a great place to self-publish. And if you have $2,000 to spare, they'll edit it for you. But I self-edited it. If you know a school teacher, just throw them a couple of bucks and they'll probably do it for you. But yeah, like Lulu, and they also let you give discounts and codes and stuff like that. But yeah, just Google me and I'll pop up.
All right, Jaljita. Well, have a good night. Try to stay warm since you don't like the cold, and thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you and love you a lot. We're going to end the show You're welcome. Feel So Good by Patsy. We'll be right back with the last say.
Lord, the way you embrace me.
Let it go.
Lord, the way you love me.
Daddy, I love you.
Your love and kindness.
It feels so good, God. So good, so good. You love me through my struggle and through the pain, even through my unfaithfulness. Unconditional love you bring.
Listen,
there is no greater. There is no greater. There is no greater.
You guys have a great day. Remember, you're more than enough. You're wanted, and we are blessed to have you listening to the show. Please, please, please continue to tune in. Rolling with the Diva. Now, if you were listening to this episode, I want you guys to be able to tell me what was the name of Jal Judah's book. What temperature did I say it was here in Nevada? And did we talk about ghosting or catfishing? And where can you find help if you need it? It's three numbers, any of the states in the United States. That's it. You guys be good. Peace out. Love you.